Psalm 145, we're going to begin with verse 1. It's page 506 in your pew Bible. And let's join together in reading God's Word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, and make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. Thank you so much. You know, when I read this passage, particularly verse 17, where it says, the Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings, it almost seems like an oxymoron, that the Lord is just and yet the Lord is kind. Is it possible for the Lord to be just? And the word just is defined to be morally right and fair, and to be kind. And that word is defined as to having or showing a generous nature. Can God be right and fair, and yet at the same time have a generous nature? Can you have justice and kindness at the same time? Well, there is no doubt from the scripture we know that God is just, that his ways are fair, that his ways are right. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, Moses is describing God. He says this, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just, a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verse 14, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and give relief to you who are troubled. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, talking about God being just. He said, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of deepest darkness to be kept until the judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world, even though he saved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood on a world of the ungodly, and if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction and made an example of what is coming to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, greatly distressed by the licentiousness of the lawless, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then, Peter says, in light of all these things, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God is just. There is no doubt that God is just, that the Bible tells us there is coming a day in which every man is going to stand before God. And the book of Revelations tells us the book is going to be opened, the book of life, and every man is going to be judged out of whether his name is found in that book, not whether he or she was a good person or a bad person, not whether he or she gave to charitable organizations, not how good he or she was to their community. No, they're going to be judged by one thing. Is your name found written in the book of life? God is just. God will punish sin. God will punish unrighteousness. God will punish the ungodly. It is not that God does not love, but God is just. A just God must punish sin. We see this beginning in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3. When God comes calling for Adam and Eve and finds them hiding in the bushes, and they begin to tell God the story of how Eve saw the serpent in the tree and how they took of the fruit, and how they both realized after eating of that fruit, they both realized that they were naked and ashamed, and they hid themselves. And so now the just God begins to speak to them. It says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, you will strike his feet.' Then to the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to the man he said, 'Because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return.'" God is just. God did not say to Eve, "Well, hon, I'm so sorry that you listened to the serpent. I'm sure it was just a little glitch. You're just, you know, maybe you didn't have a cup of coffee this morning. You just didn't feel right this morning. And Adam, I'm sorry that you listened to your wife. I'm just going to overlook it, this disobedience today, but don't do it again." No. God said, "I gave you a commandment. The commandment was, don't eat of that tree. And because you have disobeyed me, you're going to be punished. You have sowed, and now you will reap." There are consequences. There are consequences in life. If you're doing 75 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and Gene Hatcher pulls you over, and you say to Gene, "Gene, I don't know what happened. The next thing I knew, I was just flying by cars, and I just thought they had parked on the road." Gene's not going to say, "Well, you know what? Tell you what I'm going to do. That's the most unusual thing I've ever heard. So I'm going to let you off, but I'm going to Baker Act you because you must be crazy." No, there's consequences to our actions. And there were consequences because God is a just God. Jesus even referred to the fact that God is a just God, and as being a just God, that God would have to punish sin. Mark 8, verse 38, Jesus said this, "Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." John 3, 19, Jesus said this, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Paul said this in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and of the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said, all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive recompense for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. God is a just God. God cannot just overlook sin. God cannot just overlook sinful nature. God cannot just simply overlook disobedience and say, well, you know, I'll let it slip by. God is just. And because God is just, God must judge. But then the psalmist says, the Lord is just in all his doings, and he's kind in all his ways. That's why I told you, and when I read this verse, it was like, here we've got, you know, God is just, but God is kind. It would seem natural to say that God's just, but then to turn around and say that God is also kind can create some conflict. Can God really be just and really be kind? Or is there a just God and a kind God? Is God sort of bipolar? That when he's upset, he's just, but then when he's on his medication, he's kind. Is God, you know, is there this split personality of God? I want to just throw something out there to you. That God is just. But in order for God to be just, God must offer man a way of escape. God would not be just if he simply said, you sinned, you're going to pay for it. My dad, one of his many sayings was, you've made your bed, now you can lay in it. God cannot be just if God simply says, you sinned, you're going to be judged, you're going to be punished, I'm going to make life miserable for you because you sinned. That would not be just. That would be cruel. That would be unmerciful. That would be injustice. But God is just. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the writer of Hebrews says this, God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love you have showed for his sake. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8, the Lord said this, in overflowing wrath for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, So that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. As I was reading this week and thinking about God being just and God being kind, I thought about David in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where David has now finally ascended to the throne. For years, David has been harassed and persecuted and chased by Saul. David has refused to take matter into his own hands, even when there were two times in which he could kill Saul. David could certainly have felt that he was justified in those actions. In fact, both times, one of David's friends told him, "This is God's will. This is God's plan. God has placed Saul here. Kill him. This is God's justice on Saul for what he has done to you." But David chose kindness. And now Saul is dead. And Saul's sons are dead. And David finds out that there is still one heir left. Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, a man by the name of Mephibosheth. And so David makes inquiry of where Mephibosheth is. We could look at this and say, you know, David would have been just to kill Mephibosheth. David could very well have been justified in doing that. It was a tradition that when you became king, you made sure that any heir to the throne of the previous king was killed. That was just considered to be, that's just the way it's done. And no one would have accused David of being cruel or unjust or being merciless if he would have brought Mephibosheth before him and killed him, because Mephibosheth represented the old order. He represented Saul. He represented Saul's kingdom. He represented Saul's followers. But this is what happened. They go and they find Mephibosheth. They bring him before David. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, it says this: "Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and gave him reverence. David said, 'Mephibosheth.' He answered, 'I am your servant,' waiting for what he believed was coming next. David said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table as long as you live.'" To be just, David had to resolve two issues. The first one was this: when you became king, you got rid of all the heirs of the previous king. The second one was this: all the land that the former king had, all the possessions that he had, they all came to you because you were now the king. That was considered just. That was considered right. That was considered, this is justice. You've won, you're now the king. The other king should be done away with, his heir should be done away with, and all of his land, all of his possessions should come to you. That is the spoils of being the victor. And David had to deal with both of these issues with Mephibosheth. So he says to him two things. "Don't be afraid. I'm going to show you kindness." And then the second thing he says to him is this: "And rather than take all the land of your grandfather and keep it for myself, rather than taking all his possessions, all of his money, all of his wealth, all of his cattle, everything that he has accumulated over the last 25 years, rather than taking that for myself and claiming it as, this is only right, this is only just, I suffered at the hand of this man, it's only right and it's only just that I should enjoy the spoils. No, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give it all to you. And then I'm going to make sure, Mephibosheth, that as long as you live, you are treated like a king." Adam was created in the very image of God. God said, "Let us make man in our image." And God created Adam, and then he created Eve, and he placed them in the garden, And he said, all this is yours. Be fruitful, multiply. It's all yours. I'm giving it to you. They sinned. They rebelled. They failed. They passed that sin genetic disposition down to every man and woman since then. So that Paul would say this in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And so God could have been just in saying, you're all going to pay for it. You're all going to be punished. It's only just, it's only fair, it's only right that I punish every one of you. But God could not be just and do that. Just as David could not truly be just if he simply brought Mephibosheth in, cut his head off, and said, that's the end of that. That would not have been justice. That would have been considered injustice. God could have said to mankind, I'm through with you, and could have been justified in doing so. But God chose to be just. Not just kind, just and kind. By saying, I will send my son to pay the price for your sins. And in doing so, I will restore back to you everything. And you'll be considered my son. That is the justice and the kindness of God. Not just to say, I'm done with you. I'm justified in saying it. I gave you an opportunity. You blew it. No. God could not be just without saying, I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to give you my own son. I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you the opportunity to be redeemed, to be bought back, to be brought to my table, and to be restored to you everything that you've lost. God is just in all of his ways and kind in all of his doings. Father, you are just. You set a standard. And Father, we missed the mark. We missed it, Lord. We didn't even touch the rim. Lord, we weren't even close. But because you are a just God, you gave us your Son, Jesus. He died on the cross, not just because of your love, not just because of your mercy, not just because of your goodness. He died on the cross, Father, because you are just. You made a way of escape. And in being just, we perceive it as kindness. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for being just in all your ways and kind in all your doings. May we, Father, once again be reminded of your justice, of your kindness. May we again be reminded that we've been purchased with a price, the blood of your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name I pray today. Amen. Amen.